Amanda, let's start with why you wanted to tell us your story.
I just want to help someone. I want it to really touch people.
Okay, so let's go back. Start childhood. From when you can remember, which when we talked about your story, you had mentioned it was between about the age of 1 and 10. Explain to us what life was like at home.
I grew up with an alcoholic, an abusive father. He drank from the time he woke up till the time he went to sleep. My parents fought a lot. Everything I did in his eyes was wrong. I would hide behind my mom when my dad would come after me with a belt. And then they would send me upstairs and fight over how to discipline me. And I would listen, sit on my steps listening. My dad would say that it was my fault my parents were fighting, and if I just did the right thing, that this wouldn't have happened.
Did you feel loved by your father?
No. Ever since I was little, I don't remember him ever telling me he loved me.
How did that make you feel, all of this that was going on in your household?
I felt that I was unable to be loved, and that I wasn't good enough.
And let's just say right here, which that is not true, of course. Those are the things that you started to believe. And it's very common in our lives that we fall into believing a lie, especially when we're children. Things happen to us as children, and we start to believe those things that really aren't true. But you were starting to feel unable to be loved, like you couldn't do anything right. So what did that belief cause you to do?
I sought out something that I was good at. I started attending karate classes.
So now, did you, as a family, did you go to church at this point in your lives?
No.
Okay. So karate, you're in karate, and you're good. At karate.
Yeah.
You're still good at karate. Yeah. But tell us a little bit about what happened there and as you started going to karate.
I was really good at it. I was a quick learner, caught on very fast. I had a karate instructor, I looked up to him like a father figure. I was very open and honest with him. I talked to him about my home problems a lot.
So at this point, you're excelling in karate. You're able to be open and honest with your instructor. And what does he provide for you initially then, since you're a very good karate student?
He takes me aside and he taught me one-on-one lessons to teach me advanced techniques.
Okay. So you're 11 years old at this point.
Yeah.
And your karate instructor is in his late 30s, correct?
Right.
And at this point, he begins to violate your trust and take advantage of you for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Did you tell anyone about this?
No. I was very intimidated by him. He told me that if I told, it would ruin his custody hearing. And
how did that make you feel?
That I was only noticed by my body.
And what did you start to feel about karate then, at that point, too?
I hated going. I dreaded it. But I still went because I didn't want to be at home as much.
Okay, and now, at this point in your life, too, your parents have divorced, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, is there anything spiritual happening in your life while this is going on?
No.
With this new transition?
Nope.
Did you feel like what was happening to you was right?
No.
And as a child, if someone doesn't tell you that it's wrong, it's very difficult to understand that it is wrong. What did you believe about yourself as a result?
That if I told, it would be my fault.
And what did this belief cause you to start to do?
I started dressing very provocative. I showed a lot of my body when I dressed. I started talking loud to try and get attention from people.
And as we talked through your story, we were reminded about some things that we have learned here at church and in different women's group sessions and many things that how the way God has created women and what it is that we need as women. And there are three questions. That first question is, am I lovely? The second question is, will you notice me? And that third question that we long to have answers, will you fight for me? Now, initially, as children, that's generally answered by our fathers. Really, those questions need to be answered by God. And we're going to start to see that develop in your story, too. So let's continue. Now, you're still in karate.
Yeah.
And at this point, you're 12 years old.
Yeah.
And a new instructor comes in.
Yeah.
He's 25. He's married. His wife lives in another country. So tell us a little bit about what happened when you started attending his classes.
Well, when I started going to his classes, I was very comfortable with him. I talked to him. I trusted him. I told him a lot of secrets that I haven't told anyone before. And I felt that he was more of my equal, my friend, than anything.
So what did he do for you as a friend?
He took me places, he gave me rides, he bought me things.
And how did that make you feel?
It made me feel like he cared, that he was a friend of mine, that he noticed me, finally, someone noticed me.
So what came about as a result of this friendship? Now, at this point, you're 13. It's been a year.
Yeah.
And he's now 26. So what starts to develop in your heart?
I had a crush on him. And after a little while, I asked him if he could ever love someone like me. And a little while after that, a physical relationship started.
And what did you start to believe that he would do?
He told me that he would leave his wife for me. But if I told anyone, that our relationship would end immediately.
So now you start to live the lies.
Yeah.
Are you open and honest about this new relationship that you have? Were you telling people?
No. I kept it between him and me. I started lying about where I was. I lied to my mom about being with him.
Let's transition a little bit, because life changes once again for you and your family. But now we're going to start to see how God's truth begins to transform all of these lies and things that have started to take over. Let's talk about coming to know God. Set the scenario up for us. What happens with mom in the beginning?
Well, my mom was hospitalized for her bipolar disorder. Dyfus took my brother and I out of our home, in places with my aunt and my uncle. They have 5 kids of their own. And we started going to church Sunday mornings with them.
So now you're starting to go to church. This is
new. Yeah.
How do you feel about church at this point?
I don't like it at all. Sunday mornings, waking up, 9 people in a house. It's not really fun. 1 bathroom. It wasn't really all about that, though. I didn't have the right clothes to wear to church. I had to borrow them from my my cousin. That made me feel uncomfortable.
So now, the questions that you started to ask from our last segment, could you ever love someone like me? We're going to start to see how that begins to be answered by God. And God provides for you a new friend at church. And her name is Emma. Tell us what you see in Emma.
I saw someone who really loves God, who had a great relationship with her parents and her family. She really obeyed God by being open and honest with her parents. So I thought that was really cool. I always admired her.
And what did you start to believe about yourself as you started spending more time with Emma, being able to spend the night at her family's house, go to church with them on Sunday mornings? What did you start to believe about yourself then?
That I could never be like that. As much as I wanted to, as much as I saw that, you know, a normal, functioning family, I could never be like her.
And what, in spending time and seeing that and being befriended by Emma, what did that start to help you believe? Did you start liking going to church at any point?
I did. I saw that she went to church, she was happy about it, she learned, you know, when she went to church, and I wanted that. So I started liking church a lot.
And what did you desire that Emma had that you really longed for yourself?
She had this peace of mind where no matter what happened, that it was going to be okay.
So now you like going to church. Did you stop living the lies that you had become accustomed to?
No. I continued to lie and to sneak around to see him.
Tell us about the night you spoke with Emma on the phone and you made a big decision in your life. Tell us about that.
Emma and I were on the phone one night, and I told her, I said, I really want what you have. I want God in my life. And she told me to talk to my aunt and my uncle about it. And I wasn't really willing to talk to them at that moment. And she said, you know, it'll be okay. I'm sure everything will end in a positive way. And at this point, I trusted her completely because she never led me in, you know, the wrong direction. So I went downstairs. My brother and my cousins were upstairs sleeping. And I told my aunt and my uncle that I wanted a relationship with God and that I want him in my life. And then my uncle asked me, do you believe that Jesus came down and died for our sins because he loved us so much and then rose again in 3 days? I said, yeah, I believe that. Then they knelt next to me and they started praying. My aunt told me, your turn, pray. I didn't know how, and I was very upset because I wanted it to be right. And she said, just talk to God, just, you know, just pray. And I cried out to God. I told him that I wanted the lies to stop. I wanted to stop pretending. I wanted to be a real person.
What did you believe about yourself as a result of that?
I finally felt that I could be Amanda.
So now, did you continue to lie? Even sometimes about praying.
Yeah. I didn't know how to pray, so I would talk to God like he was right next to me. And that would sometimes be mistaken that I was talking on the phone to someone that I wasn't supposed to. So I would lie about that.
So now some transition happens, because you are still continuing in a relationship, but now God is starting to take hold of your heart as you have prayed to him and opened your heart to him. But another big transition happens, and you're moved. You and your brother are moved once again to another aunt and uncle's house.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about what happened after you went to your new aunt and uncle's home.
Well, that's when I started coming to Westbridge. My aunt and my uncle made me feel very comfortable. To where I can tell them anything and everything about what happened. My uncle would take me out and have sit-downs with me and talk to me about how a young lady should act, and that I don't need to be loud and dress provocative to get attention, because that would attract the wrong negative attention, that I could just be myself to get the right attention.
How'd you feel in their home?
For the first time in my life, I felt really relaxed and just comfortable.
And having someone now to be open and honest with you and share with you the right way about living, how did that make you feel?
That I could finally be loved and noticed, not because of my body.
And what did your aunt and uncle do? Remember our three questions. What do you feel they really did for you?
They told me that I was lovely. They definitely noticed me for me. And there were times where I saw my aunt and my uncle willing to fight for me.
Okay, so you're attending Westbridge now for a short time.
Yeah.
And God begins to show you who Amanda is created to be.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about that. What's the first thing you join as you start to get involved?
I joined the dance team, Freedom. I met so many great people and created a lot of friends on that team. And there was one person in particular, Katie, who I remember our first practice. I looked at her and I just walked up to her and I said, "I'm a very huggy person. Can I hug you?" And she said, "Yeah, I'm a huggy person too." So we hugged and she made me feel so comfortable, so welcome, and I trusted her and I admire her to this day.
So now God's starting to change your heart. You're starting to meet new friends here at Westbridge.
Yeah.
And you hear a sermon about baptism.
Yeah.
And you feel led to be baptized. Tell us about your experience with that.
Well, we were all sitting around the pool, and I was listening to all the previous people who got baptized stories, and I was just amazed And I was like, wow, there's so many great people. And then Pastor Drew called my name. I was really excited. And when they dipped me back into the water and I came out, I felt like I had no more worries, no more troubles, that a big, like, boulder was lifted off my chest.
So now we've seen you in lots of other things. So what else do you start to join as you become involved with
the worship team?
Okay.
And the drama team.
And now, in drama especially, and worship, you start to use your desire to be noticed for God. And that's what we get to see in you. I think that's what some of us who know you, maybe who didn't know you very well, we get to see the joy that you have as you dance so beautifully, and as you sing, and when you act. And the beauty in that is because of your heart for Christ. And I want you to tell us about Driven. You co-lead a group called Driven, which is a group of teenagers that meets Saturday night right after the service in that room,
yeah,
right behind the stage. Give us an idea of what happens back there.
Yeah, well, Katie and I, you know, we get all the teens at Westbridge together. We talk over the sermon, how that touched our heart that night. We have a weekly Bible verse, and then we go around in a circle and just ask if anyone has prayer requests or praises for the week. And then we pray for one another. We get a lot closer by that.
Amanda, tell us what's happening in June this year, just 1 month from now.
I'm graduating, and then 2 weeks after that, I'm going on my first missions trip to Guatemala.
You know, as we talked through your story, we had thought about a couple verses that stuck out, and I want you to share with us that verse that meant a lot to you.
Be strong and let your heart take courage in the Lord, Psalm 31:24.
And as you were so willing to be open and share your story with me, the verse that came to mind is 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. Thank you for sharing your story with us.